Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley today each weekday at noon on the River 95.3, I also produce podcasts, and I'm excited to kick off season two of our podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every month, we'll release a new episode talking to different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode on our website at theriver953.com under the podcast tab, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, just search for We Are REC. We are chatting with Michael Lindsay. He is on the board of Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. We pre-recorded this conversation on the Zoom screen. I thought it would be interesting to have this conversation with him to kind of learn about what's involved with being a board member for an electric co-op. Mike, tell me a little bit about your background. Where are you from, and how is it that you ended up on the board at Rappahannock Electric Cooperative?
Sure. I am an old line finance and accounting person, which sounds really boring, and it is. But since 1999, I've worked for a global engineering services and consulting company. And most recently, I've been the financial controller for one of their largest divisions. I'm originally from the Hampton Roads area, and I had the opportunity to live in Texas and Saudi Arabia and Okinawa before being fortunate enough to call the Shenandoah Valley my home. I've lived here since the mid-1990s, and it is just a fantastic place to live and work. I really became interested in serving on REC's board of directors during the acquisition process of the former Allegheny Power territory. And I'm a big fan of electric cooperatives where the members own the organization versus a far-off investor-owned utility. And I really felt that my business and corporate governance background was something that would be a benefit to our member owners. Plus, as you can probably imagine, I'm very invested in the Valley and welcome the opportunity to serve. I've had the pleasure of serving on a couple of nonprofit charitable boards over the years and looked at this as just another way to get involved. And sort of as a humorous aside, my wife grew up in a electric cooperative service area outside of the Roanoke area. So I was already familiar with co-ops, and I have been reading that magazine since the 1980s, since before we were married. So that in a nutshell is kind of how we got to this place today.
Was that part of your pitch when you reached out to them and say, hey, I'd really be interested in being more involved. What can I do? And I've been reading your magazine for years.
Yeah, I've been reading the magazine and I love it, by the way. And that was part of the pitch. And actually, it was a pretty competitive process. There were a number of very qualified people that applied back in the day when the acquisition took place.
And how long have you been on the board?
I have been on about 10 years.
And I want to make sure people understand that while you are living in the Shenandoah Valley, you are representing the entire membership. It's not like, say, for example, a seat on city council where you are elected and you only serve a portion of people in a particular city. You work for the entire member-owned cooperative.
That is correct. That's a very good point to bring up, is that while we have different districts for our directors, they are voted on by the membership as a whole during the election process, and we represent everybody. I represent everyone in the cooperative, regardless of where they live in the service territories. And the reason we have these districts set up is to ensure that our directors are geographically dispersed around the service territory and that we're part of the communities that we serve, rather than run the risk of every director being from Spotsylvania County or outside of Richmond or something like that.
It's one of the perks to being able to have an even representation, like you mentioned, because so many of the places that Rappahannock Electric Cooperative serves are rural, some are a little more populated, and you want to make sure that your board reflects your membership.
Exactly.
Do you think that it helped you at all in your service to the board because you did have some understanding and background of what a co-op was and how it operated?
Oh, I do. And I didn't pretend then to be an expert on co-ops or anything, but I was familiar with the business plan and what a co-op was, what it meant.
And I'm guessing that the board for REC runs very similarly to the board you mentioned before that you've served on other nonprofit boards. I've been on chamber boards. I'm currently on the board for the United Way of Northern Shenandoah Valley. And a lot of board work works the same, doesn't it? Or is it different with an organization like REC?
A lot of it is the same. You want what's best for the organization. You want to be prepared for the meetings. There's always prep work. A lot of it is transportable across organizations. You have budgets to approve. You have a strategic plan to approve. You're monitoring financial performance. You're looking at where the organization is and where it needs to be in the future to remain relevant, whether it's a co-op board or a local nonprofit.
And as a member, you actually have even more skin in the game.
Exactly. And that's also a very good point is that I'm a member owner. I understand a lot of the challenges that folks are going through, especially in today's COVID environment. So I get it. I'm the local guy that's in the community. I'm not some board of directors sitting in a far off state somewhere managing a far flung electric cooperative.
It's not one of those things where we have to go into a high-rise corporate office building and only know who the board of directors are because their portraits are lining the wall in the entranceway.
Exactly, exactly.
I would imagine that one of the perks or one of the highlights of being on the board at REC was when you guys did the capital credits in June and returned $13 million to those of us that are member owners.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to touch on that a little bit, that in general, it's a huge honor to serve the REC membership. And as we mentioned, the directors serve everyone. And from the Valley through Central Virginia, suburban Richmond, the I-95 corridor, all the way down to the Chesapeake Bay. And one of the most rewarding things that we as directors do is approve the disbursement of capital credits. And this past year, we were able to return $13 million to our members in the form of capital credits. And especially in today's challenging environments where people have faced some headwinds because of COVID, that's a direct benefit to them of being a cooperative member.
Is it any different for you as a board member when you lose or replace your CEO? I know Kent Farmer retired not too terribly long ago. I've had a conversation with John Hua, who I think is fantastic. I think he was a very, very good choice. What role does the board play in determining who the new CEO is going to be?
One of the most important things a board of directors does is to select and manage and compensate the CEO. The CEO basically reports to the board and we report and work for our member owners. So we're that link from the member owners to management. And as you mentioned, John is just absolutely fantastic and we are so happy to have him. And this was part of a succession process that had started several years ago when we recruited John, it was with the idea that one day, potentially, that he would be our next CEO. And thankfully, everything worked out. All the steps fell into place. And we have just a fantastic management team today that the board couldn't be more pleased with and is very proud to have at REC.
I joked with him that he had to be just a little bit crazy to be taking over in the middle of a pandemic. But then I realized as I talked to other people throughout our community, there were a lot of CEO changes and new people coming in the middle of this pandemic. It wasn't as unusual as I thought it was.
And that brings up a great point is that John stepped in at a really challenging time, having to deal with all of the other day-to-day management things that go with being a CEO, and at the same time, dealing with the challenges that COVID placed on us in moving to a remote work environment or a hybrid work environment, and then just trying to effectively communicate with your workforce and with your board. So he has just done an outstanding job. He and his team have done an outstanding job navigating those waters.
Did your role change at all during the pandemic as a board member? Did you find yourself being more hands-on or doing more than what you would have done in a normal year, per se?
It certainly presented some challenges, because one of them is receiving periodic, almost constant COVID updates on how the co-op is performing, how our folks are doing, how they're managing it, because we care very deeply about our employees. We want to make sure that they're being taken care of. And John and his team have done a great job with that. I do think, and I don't speak for everyone, this is just my personal experience, it has taken more prep work for the board meetings, because on top of our other board business, we have the COVID updates that we go through and discussions on where we're going to go in the future as far as our work environment. And conducting the board meetings remotely has been somewhat I won't say a challenge, it's just been an added issue that we've had to deal with. But I can say that we have not missed a beat. We're still an effective, engaged board. We are meeting regularly, just like we've always done. We're just sitting at homes in our workspaces spread out throughout the REC service territory.
Do you meet once a month? How often does the REC board meet?
Generally, we meet once a month. And there are 2 months out of the year, April and I believe July, that we don't meet. And we generally have a very full agenda when we meet. It's not that we get together for a couple of hours and kick things around and go home. These are generally all day meetings that take a lot of prep time. And then if we have other issues that come up that require additional meetings, we're obviously always available to do that. So I would say that the once a month is kind of a minimum, but it's not the end all.
So tell me about the annual meeting, because that's a really big deal where, more so than any other time of the year, member owners have an opportunity to have their voice be heard.
Exactly. The annual meeting is held in August, and in years past, it has been at a venue in the Fredericksburg area that's large enough to accommodate any member owner that wants to show up. And it's a great opportunity to ask questions directly to our CEO or to the board and interact with the board. Again, another COVID challenge is that we had to do it remotely for public safety reasons. It was live streamed on the internet. In addition to the annual meeting, we host periodic telephone town halls that our members can sign up for. There's plenty of notice going out. Our CEO and board chair generally honcho these calls. And even if you don't get a chance to have your question aired, so if you're in the queue, someone will follow up and address your concerns. We also have, we didn't do it last year because of COVID, but we would host one event per year that would rotate through our service territory called Get Connected. Mm-hmm. And that was an awesome opportunity for folks to come out in a very low-key, casual environment, have some great food, some great entertainment, family activities. And we're actually looking at expanding that and maybe doing more than just one event per year after we get through this current COVID environment. And it's great for the directors and management too, because we get to hear from people.
If only we had all known at the last Get Connected event at the Frederick County Fairgrounds that would probably be the last time we would all be able to see each other for a while. We may have stayed a little longer and enjoyed ourselves a bit more.
I know. And I remember that event so well. I had such a good time there. And it was a fantastic event. And the folks that put it together every year, they just do an outstanding job.
So during the annual meeting, is that when the votes are counted for new board members? How many years is a board term? How do the logistics work for new members coming in and old members leaving and the voting?
So we have 9 directors. Each director serves a 3-year term. So in any year, we have 3 directors that are up for re-election. And as you and I had talked about a few minutes ago, even though we live in different parts of the territory, everyone has the opportunity to vote. So even if you live in Hanover County, and I'm running up here in the district from Frederick County, you can still vote for me. Every member is eligible to vote in the election. And there are a couple ways you can do that. There are proxy cards that are mailed out to each member, and they can fill out that proxy card and return it. You can also fill them out using your MyREC Smart Hub. So you can also vote electronically through the Smart Hub. And you can, in years past, you could just come to the annual meeting and give your proxy card at the door as you walked in. But it's at the annual meeting that the actual votes are tallied up. And either at the annual meeting or if the vote counting runs long, as soon as possible after the meeting, the results are announced.
We joked a few minutes ago about the magazine, but I love the fact that the magazine tells me who is up for reelection, does Yes. their short little bio, gives me information about everybody. It's a really good educational tool in addition to being informative and entertaining.
Oh, it is. And one of the things I love about that magazine is that it's a great way to connect with people and to share news. And there's also a portion on the website that's devoted to the elections as well that folks can visit and learn more.
So when you're out and about, do people now recognize you and know that, hey, there's the REC guy. I've got a question for him about my electric bill. Do you get any of those?
On occasion, not so much. It's not like I'm a rock star or anything. But yeah, on occasion, someone will see me in public and put two and two together. Or especially here in the neighborhood where I live, folks know, obviously, and they will contact me if there's an issue or they just have a question. There are very few issues out there. One of our goals is to be engaged with our member owners. So you'll often see us at local events like county fairs or festivals, that sort of thing. And when you're there, we do get folks come up and talk to us and everything, which is great. And if someone does have an issue or perceives that they have an issue or just has a question or just wants to say, hey, I think you folks are doing a great job. It's just so nice to be out there and talk to folks.
And I don't think you can hear that enough. I think that in this last year, we've all gotten so caught up in being annoyed and being upset that things aren't the way they used to be. I think we need to go way far to the other side and make it a point to start telling more people more often what a great job they're doing and how glad we are that they've hung in there.
When I go to the grocery store or go somewhere, you know, my wife and I are going to the store, whatever, I always try to tell the folks there at the checkout, hey, you know what? Thank you so much for being here today, because that's a tough job too. And they're sort of dealing with a wide range of people every day in these uncertain times when this disease is floating around. So you're absolutely right. It's just nice to go that extra mile and say, hey, you know what? I appreciate it.
Let's say that REC has decided they're going to create a time capsule and they're going to put it in the ground near one of their offices that has the highlights from each of their board members that are on the board right now. What would you want to put as the highlight of your time on the board in that time capsule?
There's so many good things and good experiences that I've had, but in addition to something about the capital credits, which is just such an awesome thing that the board participates in, I would just like to have some pictures out there of me interacting with our member owners and me interacting with our employees, because our job is to serve the member owners and our employees are just so fantastic and they make that so much easier. A lot of the comments that I hear from folks are, gosh, so-and-so came out to fix something and they just did an outstanding job. Or one gentleman told me that someone came out and it was determined it wasn't an REC problem. It was a problem with another cable company that had caused some issues on his property. And not only did they point that out, but they went by the local cable office and reported it and went that extra mile towards getting the issue fixed as soon as possible.
And those are the upsides to being on a board. That's why a lot of us sign up and agree to take on a responsibility like that, is you really do want to be in the know, you want to be helpful, and you want to feel like you're giving back. So it makes perfect sense that those would be your highlights.
I can honestly say that this has been one of the most enjoyable and just rewarding things that I've had the opportunity to participate in. It has truly been just a once in a lifetime kind of thing, and just, I don't know, just a game changer in my worldview and everything else.
Now, are there term limits for board members? Are you going to have to get booted at some point in the future?
Short answer, yes. And I could either get booted through the democratic process or I could serve out my time and gracefully step aside. The term limits are currently you can run for 5 elections. In my case, during the acquisition, I was appointed. So I had a little bit of lead time out there in the front. But once my time is up, it's time to move on to the next phase.
And I think that's smart for multiple reasons. You don't want to have somebody that's there forever that may not be as open to new ideas and new things coming along. But at the same time, you want somebody that can stay on long enough to see something from its inception to its completion and know that you've got that knowledge in your back pocket.
And that's something too that the board addresses and is a frequent topic is, just as we have a succession plan in place for Kent, we have a succession plan in place for the board to look at whose term limits are coming up, ensure that there's interest in the community and getting qualified individuals to serve on the board, that there's a pipeline of folks out there so that we're just not left high and dry.
And you want a wide variety of people with a wide variety of experiences.
Right. We have a 9-member board. And I think that is the optimum kind of number. Anything above that, it just gets unwieldy. And anything below that, you lose that all-important diversity of background, diversity of opinion, diversity of worldview. So, we have a really good mix on the board. We have folks that bring a lot of different strengths to the board and provide us some bench strength for whatever decisions need to be made.
Well, Mike, thank you for taking some time to have this conversation with me. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person as soon as the Get Connected events are brought back to life.
You can bet on it. Now that I can put a name with the faith, I'm going to be on the lookout for you.
Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for your time and for having me. This was just fantastic. Thank you.